up, Chicago? That's right. It is Monday, April 17th, the day after he got up. April 17th, 2017, and Taking Minutes Off is on the air live from the West Side Studios, located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church, and we have an outstanding show for you all today. Man, it's going to be good, right? In the studio, as always, it's your boy, your host, Miss Danny L. King, alongside my brother in ministry from the First Bethel Church on the south side of Chicago, the one and the only, Pastor Cornelius Parks. What's going on, boss?
What it do? I'm tired, boss.
He said he's tired, boss. Nobody asking you about your meteorological. Look here, y'all. We got a great show for you today, man. Today's topic is going to be good, right? It's Missional Monday, so we're always talking about something having to do with outreach. So this is, watch this, y'all ready? Seven things all growing churches have in common. So that's going to be the topic later on today. And man, then look, we're going to talk about all this. There's some crazy stuff going on around here, y'all. Crazy stuff going on in the world. Crazy stuff going on in our neighboring states and cities. So we're going to talk about that too. But look, as always, let me give you the rundown on how you can be a part of the show. If you're already listening on the line, already listening in, just simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. If you are already listening via blogtalkradio.com, if you're listening via blogtalkradio.com, you can do the same thing. Area code 347-934-0546. Those of you already listening on the line, meaning you've called in already and you're listening via your mobile device, simply push 1, and that'll get you into our producer. What's her name today? Let me check my Buttercup. Pray for y'all. Pray for
Buttercup.
Yeah, y'all pray for Buttercup. Her mind is bad. Buttercup is our producer for today. these names. But yeah, that'll put you through to her. She'll get you through us when we find out what your conversation want to be about, and we'll be good to go. If you are on social media, so are we. Simply go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us there. If you want to tweet the show, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Again, follow us on Twitter at TTLO Radio. The live streams are up and running. Ustream.tv, Ustream.tv. You can find us there. Simply go to the Ustream page, do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dan and Devon. You'll find us there. Facebook Live is up and running. What's going on, y'all? I see you. Facebook Live is up and running. Simply go to that same Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. And then when you get there, you got to hit the share button. And when you come in the room, speak to the peoples, man. Don't just speak. Speak to everybody. Say good afternoon to me and my brother over here. And then speak to the rest of the TTLO congregation, if you will. But go ahead and do that. We greatly appreciate it. If you want to email the show. Sometimes, you know, there ain't enough room to put all your comments in here. So if you want to email the show, please feel free to do that. Email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Again, email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. And then last but not least, you can subscribe to our podcast. Simply go to your iTunes account, go to the podcast section, do a search for Taking the Limits Off Radio, and you will find us there. Pastor Parks, woo! The Monday after he got up.
Is he still up?
Yeah, he's still up now.
Yes, sir.
If he wasn't, we'd know. Yeah, because we'd be in trouble, especially me.
Yes, sir.
Look here, Doc. What's going on, man?
Man, you got this thing, man. Good weekend.
Uh-huh.
Long weekend.
A little long?
Oh, man, it was long.
So I saw some of the Easter egg hunt.
My God.
Yeah.
My God. That, yeah. That's it, yeah.
And I saw them overly full Easter buckets.
Oh, my God.
You call them baskets.
Yeah, man.
His is going to be considered buckets.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, I'm telling you this. I'm forever grateful for the team really pushed forward to make this happen.
Okay.
I'm grateful for the First Bethel Church, and I'm grateful for many people throughout the city of Chicago. What we did this year, we marketed through Facebook, but
right,
that wasn't a big thing.
The big
thing was we did Eventbrite.
Okay.
And so we put it out there, and persons have to sign up, and however many kids they're going to bring, they have to make sure they brought that number of kids.
Mm-hmm.
So we did it, man, and in 2 days, it went up to like 60-something. Then it flourished. And so Leslie, which was my assistant, my road dog, my right hand,
mm-hmm.
I accidentally created a second page.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I know that I was adding more people.
Uh-huh.
And so we were trying to shut it down at 10,
mm-hmm.
at 100.
Okay.
And I added, on my page, it was like 67 more.
Okay.
So we had 167 people.
Okay.
Signed up. And Doc, they came.
Wow.
Doc, they came.
That's
the
awesome.
First time in history that I can remember, that I know of, First Bethel had fellowship with Mexicans, Puerto Ricans, and whites.
Awesome.
Blacks.
Awesome. Awesome. Awesome.
So it started at 1.
Mm-hmm.
They started coming in at 12:45.
Okay. Wow.
Unbelievable.
Ready.
Ready. And so, man, when I tell you they flood us, they flood the gates. I mean, we had over 100-some kids there. Not just counting the adults. We had people from Bellwood came out. People from Little Village. People from, a city right next door to Little Village?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That little town. Man, we had a Humble Park. We had in our community all over
wow.
the city of Chicago.
That's awesome.
They came to make this happen.
That's
and
awesome.
Man, when I tell you, it was a time we did, for you that didn't know, we did a flashlight Easter egg hunt.
Right, right.
And so what happened, we turned off all the lights in the sanctuary,
mm-hmm.
Put curtains up by the window so no light could get in.
Right.
It was pitch dark. We gave all the kids flashlights, so they came in 25 at a time. We hid the eggs all around the church,
okay.
and they
okay.
came in with them flashlights.
Wow.
Man, listen, that was one of the greatest events in my life, man.
That's awesome, man.
Man,
that's awesome.
I was a kid all over again, man. So
man, you didn't push no little kids looking for them.
No, they was pushing me, man.
Okay, good. I just want to.
Little kids can be vicious.
I just want to make sure.
I'm just going to let them know. I ain't scared of kids
pushing anybody's kid because you threatened to push some kids.
Man,
over.
Listen,
I just
man.
Make sure you didn't actually.
I did, but they beat me to the punch.
Okay,
man.
Okay.
And so I felt bad because we had a lot of 1, 2, 3-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
And so I put them in a mix of the numbers and they couldn't find a way. So I did a exclusive
okay.
Round for the 1, 2, 3-year-old, and man, listen, it was a joy, man, to see these little kids
mm-hmm.
coming out with their little flashlights, little midgets, coming in with their flashlights looking for eight. They were so happy, man, and so that was the joy, and they knew the purpose. It wasn't about no Easter, no bunny rabbit land.
Right.
They knew the purpose, and then also I learned this, man. There's so many people looking around this the city of Chicago for safe havens for their kids
mm-hmm.
to participate in. And I sat down talking to a lot of the Caucasian Mexicans,
mm-hmm.
asking them, like, what made you come this far a distance?
Mm-hmm.
And the nutshell was, you know, we just needed a safe environment for our
wow.
kids.
Wow.
And there wasn't nothing in the city that was publicized of doing something to that magnitude.
Yeah, if it was, everybody was kind of doing their own,
exactly,
kind of doing their own thing. One of the things that I just, and I'm glad you said that. I want to get. We had a reservation Sunday yesterday. It was awesome. Good time. Had a good time. Then went over to spent some time with our silent partner, Deacon McCurtis. He's getting ready for his surgery on Tuesday.
Right, tomorrow.
So it's Tuesday. So it's been moved up. So we'll still have a live show on Wednesday. So went over and sat with him. His grandbabies was in town again, so they came up to sit with him for a while. So that was good. And but it was good. It was good service, man. But I'm glad you went there, man. The people said there was no safe place.
No safe place.
To do anything.
No and safe place.
There's so much stuff going on. I'm sure unless you're living under a rock, which apparently I was for most of the day yesterday, because I didn't know about the Cleveland shooter.
Oh, you did?
Until I was, like, getting ready to go home last night. Is when
right.
I saw these people saying, pray for Cleveland today. And I'm slow. I'm thinking the Cavaliers had lost. That's what I was thinking. It was like, play for Cleveland. I'm thinking, did LeBron lose? Like, why y'all crying? I had no idea. Because literally all of the posts were saying,
yeah,
play for Cleveland.
You're right.
And I'm like,
You're right.
I'm like, why are y'all crying over? I'm like, LeBron lost. I'm like, I said he just won the other day. What's
right.
the problem?
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
And I had no idea. So I finally like saw the thing, and I'm like, oh wait a minute. I'm like, oh, this is like this is active shooter. I'm like, oh my God. So this guy. Here's the hit, man. Let me go and get this out the way before somebody says. I know that's where you're finna go. So let me get it out the way.
Oh my God.
Unfortunately, he is a member of Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gave his line number, his organization number, what district he was in. He gave all that information live over there. Now, here's what I found out, because I thought he was doing this Facebook Live. He recorded the video and then uploaded the video to Facebook,
right?
And then that's how it got up there. Facebook deactivated his page,
right?
But then everybody else still has the video, so the video is still out there.
Oh, the video is still out there.
Oh yeah, that's how I saw the video at 1 o'clock this morning.
Now, honestly, I didn't see the video.
It popped up in timeline, so I watched. There's two versions. There's the news version where everything is edited out.
Uh huh.
And then there's the actual version.
Okay, so on the actual version, do it show him?
Yes.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Old man, senior citizen, walking home from the store, had a, it looked like a CVS bag or something in his hand, and he walks up to the guy, and he's like, you can see him on the video talking to himself, and then he's on the phone, and he's saying, look, he said, yeah, I'm finna kill somebody right now, and he gets out of the car, and he walks up to the old man, he was like, do you know, he asked him, Mr. Girl's name, Joy something.
Wow.
And the man was like, who? He was like, say Joy something. And the man said, Joy, whatever. And he was like, yeah. He said, I'm so sorry. I'm going to have to kill you or whatever. And the man was like, what? He said, I want to pause this. And the guy raised up his hand, and he pulled the gun out, shot him right in the head.
In the head?
Right, broad daylight.
Wow. Now,
and then zoomed back, and the video is there, man bleeding, everything, dead on the ground.
Wow.
Got back in his car. Wow. And drove off.
Now, I was familiar with everything. I didn't, honestly, yes. I didn't see the video.
Yeah.
You know, it's a catastrophe in our nation.
Man.
It's just sickening. And even about him being accused, honestly, Greek is Greek.
Yeah.
You know, we all joke about that, but, you know, Divine Nine is Divine Nine. And at the end of the day, we're together.
Yeah.
And to know that he comes from a great organization and, you know,
mental health is mental
real.
Health is real.
It's real.
Mental health
is real.
Issues are real.
It's real.
And they are just as right. And let me say this real quick, because I know it's real easy. You know, that's not something that we in the Black community have ever really wanted to address
or accept.
Yeah. We don't buy into it, because we always thought they're trying to drug us. And for a good reason.
Yeah.
For a good reason, because of past experiences. Yeah. We don't want to deal with that. But mental health issues are real, and they exist in our community.
And let me say something. You hit something that I want to, and I know this might make a lot of deep folks feel uncomfortable, but everything is not spiritual like we. I'm serious. You know, everything is not spiritual. The Lord created people to go to doctors for reasons.
Mm.
He allowed a doctor to go through many series of levels of education, pharmacists to go through this testing of medicines and all that. And it's for the betterment of us.
Mm-hmm.
We got to take ownership of the physical health aspect of our life. And I do understand we are saved, sanctified, and filled, but why would God create people to become doctors or pharmacists if they're just there to be just to be there? Mm-hmm. They're there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say this because I pertain it back to my personal life. I remember when I was 18, I tried to commit suicide.
Wow.
And I lost a scholarship to Wisconsin because they said I was mental, because I had to go see a psychiatrist. I'm not ashamed of telling my story, because this is part of my testimony where I'm at today.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what caused me to go to the college I went to,
right?
Because I lost my scholarship. However, that was a crisis going on in my life.
Okay.
And I was young, and I didn't have anyone really to turn to, because I was living a life, a journey I felt all by myself. And And truth of the matter, I partially knew the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't mean that I said, okay, God, help me out. I mean, sometimes you just feel like, I don't feel like worth living, or I just want to make this decision and make me feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And truth of the matter, that is mental.
Yeah.
That is mental.
Mm-hmm.
Because you mentally, you're sitting down thinking about different episodes in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're thinking about these episodes. Now the episodes become you.
Mm-hmm.
And so this brother, and I'm gonna say this, he is a monster,
mm-hmm.
but we gotta pray that monster don't continue to attack,
mm-hmm.
because he's still on the loose that I know of.
Yeah, yeah,
definitely on the loose.
Oh yeah, he is not only is he on the loose. Just to give you an update, as I was sitting in the parking lot waiting for you to come up, I got noticed that. They're saying that he supposedly was just in Detroit and killed somebody, so he done made his way to Detroit.
So this man just traveling around in the Midwest.
Yeah, it says, here it goes. It says, a man who allegedly killed, I'm not gonna, it ain't allegedly, because it was live on video.
Exactly.
So it's no longer allegedly. After he had enjoyed an Easter meal, this show to post a video of killing on Facebook, is now suspect a manhunt spanning several Midwest and Northeast states, police say. Steve Simmons, 37 years old, stands charged with Sunday's aggravated murder of 74-year-old Robert Godwin. Authorities say he could be in Pennsylvania, New York, or Michigan. The suspect's mother told CNN when she last saw Stevens on Saturday, he said it would be a miracle if she ever saw him again. They spoke the next day. She said he told her he was shooting people because he was angry with his girlfriend.
I wish like his mom called saying they got her hostage or something, or
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm not trying to be funny, but to see what would soften his heart, because for the mother to say, I doubt it if I ever see him again.
That's what he told her.
Oh,
he said, I doubt if you'll ever see me again.
Wow.
That's what he told her when he last spoke to her. Yeah.
Wow. And I know he don't have no communication on the phone because they could track that.
Well, that's what we were talking about earlier. But apparently if you look at the video, and that's me over examining the video, the phone he had was not a newer phone. It looked like a track phone.
Track phone.
Yeah, he went and bought him a track phone.
So it's not even a smartphone.
It's not. It's not.
So you can't even track him. See his web.
It's strictly for making phone calls.
Wow.
Yeah. And you know, but my thing is, and I said this earlier because, you know, I know people and stuff. The car he's driving is a newer car, Ford Fusion, whatever, still got temporary tags on it. And I said, well, if he has Sirius radio in his car, they can track the Sirius radio ID because it is connected to a satellite.
Or OnStar.
All they have to do, and this is a Ford. That's the OnStar Chevy, though,
Chevy,
right? Yeah,
Chevy.
But if it's a Sirius radio, if it's an active service,
mm-hmm.
Even if it's not, they can mm-hmm. activate it for him. Just mm-hmm. turn it on, send a refresh signal, which would then start sending in a beacon,
exactly.
And they can track that bad boy down.
So my question too is,
I'm sure they know.
Not even that too, but you know, he got to stop for gas.
But no. But again, he looks. I mean, you know, he a regular looking dude. He ain't nothing, you know, ain't nothing amazing, outstanding about him. He probably blends in.
Blend in.
And if you stop for gas, is he paying cash? I'm assuming.
Yeah.
If he's paying cash, he got to go into a location.
Exactly.
If he's not, then, you know, and then the fact is, he's driving a white Ford Fusion with temporary plates. How many of those are on the road right now?
That's true.
Man, yeah. And then I'm reading what he says. He supposedly says he killed 13 people.
Yeah.
And the other bodies are in abandoned buildings.
I was going to say that. Like, you don't even know where these bodies at and what's going on. We need to pray that the Lord soften his heart.
Yeah.
Honestly. And then pray for him, his mind.
Yeah.
I know this is probably the part that a lot of us don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still our duty as Christians.
Yeah.
Even though we're hurting and we feel like, man, he deserved this and that. No person deserves anything. I don't care what they do to the point. We don't have no judgment on anyone.
Yeah.
The Lord is so gracious that he provide mercy
mm-hmm.
and his grace on all of us, even the things that we do.
Mm-hmm.
But in the same token, people need to be aware of what's going on, because if he went from Cleveland, Ohio,
mm-hmm.
as you said, to Detroit, Michigan, sound like to me the next stop could be where?
Anywhere.
Depending
on which way you're going.
Depending on which way you're going.
But somebody I heard earlier, it was Pennsylvania, so he's going that direction.
So, if he's going up north, is that northwest?
Yeah, we need prayer is absolutely in need, but, you know, we need to be vigilant too.
Yeah, definitely.
And I say this all the time, man, based off of that, and mind you, this is not even in Chicago. Trust me. We got enough shooters here in Chicago, bro. So
yeah.
I'm gonna say this.
You're probably scared to come here.
Stay where you at.
Yeah.
Right. Don't.
Yeah.
Cause you.
I
want him to come, but don't come.
Yeah.
Right? Cause you come here, you won't get out.
Police ain't gonna save him.
Yeah. Right.
They ain't gonna save him.
Right. Right. You might as well get on the list if you come here. But my the thing that stuck out for me was I'm like when I read that he was killed that he had killed 13 people, I said, how is this not national news?
Yeah. You know, Tanya Williams said something nice.
What she said?
She said, it seemed like his ex-girlfriend has some type of influence on this man. She needs to do something to possibly set him up to get him. But you know something? Right now, Tanya, honestly, he probably done tuned in to that part now. He know the things that he done that he would never be free again, number one.
Oh, he already said. He knows he's going. He says he knows. At some point, this is going to come to a bad end. That's what he said in the video.
Yeah.
So he has no intention on being arrested.
Exactly.
Yeah, he has no intention on being arrested.
And I even pray that he don't take his life.
I'm going to say that. And I'm just being honest.
No, you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
You're doing the right thing, but you are the seasoned pastor.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
No, I'm serious. I know how I feel, too. Mentally disturbed, not to the point of what you're doing.
Right.
And a lot of these guys, they do stuff and really don't have no knowledge of what they really do. Even though he did a video, he don't know the severity of it. And it's really, this man is really hurting people across this nation. It's not just because he killed a couple of people, but just to have this nonsense taking place, it hurts. It hurts. Even, you know, this man, Easter Sunday, coming from church, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 79 years of age.
Yeah, he had been to church. He had already ate dinner with his family and on his way home.
On his way home. I mean, that's a great day. If we don't spend no day with our family, it's not just Thanksgiving and Christmas, but Easter is that day, too, you spend with family.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for him, young guy, 37, he hasn't even started living yet. Seriously.
Yeah.
The guy. The
one that's the show.
Yeah, he's 37 years old.
37.
Yeah. 37.
Yeah.
And
got a job.
All this over.
Told his boss he wasn't going to be in tomorrow in the video. He said, I probably won't be there tomorrow.
You know, hey, Harlem Nights never lie.
I ain't never coming back.
Or sunshine.
Oh.
Sunshine.
Yeah. I mean,
it's man, I've been, hey,
I am, you know, it's unfortunate. And then, you know, bring it back home. We had 45 shootings over
45
weekend.
Shootings.
Yeah. 45 shootings.
Yeah, to God be glory, only two that reported got killed.
Yeah.
But 45 shootings right here in the city of Chicago over this weekend.
Yeah.
Over what we consider a holy weekend. You know, what do we do? What do we do? That's the question. What do we do? And sad part is, I don't think none of us have the right answer. No matter how much we talk about it and try to figure out, you know, I think one of the best answers I can give is the body of Christ must come together.
Yeah.
I mean, if the United States Army come together, if the Marines come together, if every organization come together, we as a body of Christ need to come together somehow. That's my only way of believing that it can happen, man.
Yeah,
the power of the Lord under His people. That's the only way, man. And I'm honestly, I can't even give no other ways of attacking the matter.
Yeah,
because I mean, we talk about social justice. We talked about economic development. We talk about give them gyms. We talk about everything. Truth of the matter, we get in the gym. They get into an argument at the gym. Somebody gonna get shot. Talking about. You know how we used to dance it out when we used to fight. Open up a little small party club for them. Somebody gonna get shot. They even run in restaurants shooting. So it's like, where's the safe zone?
Yeah.
Where is the safe zone? So the best thing I can honestly say is the church as a whole come together and figure out, do a massive soldier field prayer.
Yeah.
Bombard heaven at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, let put egos to the side. Let's put pride to the side.
Yeah. Right. Speaking of, we are there is something you can do if you want to join in tomorrow here in the city of Chicago, right here. We're gonna be right back here on this corner again tomorrow on Lake and Central, from 5 to 6 p.m. I'm sorry, that's Wednesday. It's Wednesday. Sorry, Wednesday from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. The corner of Central and Lake. State Rep LaShawn Ford and community partners, that's all of us, will be out there, Safe Zone Community, Central and Lake Street, right there. We will be out there from 5 to 6 p.m. This coming Wednesday. We're going to be out there. We're going to shut Central and Lake Street down again, man, because that unfortunately is a hot spot. So we will definitely be out there. Feel free, if you're in the Chicagoland area, to come out, join us, please. If you can't join us, pray for us.
Presence of the Lord, I've been free,
delivered,
and in your presence, Lord.
That you're enjoying today's broadcast. If you have any questions or simply would like to comment on today's show, please give us a call at 347-934-0546, or you can reach us at 855-381-8804. We would like to hear from you.
Sorry about that. We appreciate y'all sticking around. Had a little difficulty, but there's always something going on. But we are back, man. Look, we were talking about what's going on in the city, and I'm reading some of the comments, man. Some of you guys are right on point. I think Kathleen Savon said we need to organize. Same thing you said, organize a huge prayer somewhere. Just have a gathering of believers somewhere, man, and just ignite a fire, man, in this city. And it's almost like. You remember the whole point of civil rights? Like it's almost like I wish we could get the Black Lives Matter movement.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge movement.
It is.
Why can't we get the Black Lives Matter movement to say, you know what? People get mad when I say it. They say I'm trying to attack them. I'm not, but I keep asking the same question. And I'm not trying to shift the conversation, but if Black Lives Matter, do they only matter when it's somebody white killing somebody black?
See, that's the problem. And you're hitting it.
Because
you're hitting it.
How come we can't
organize the Black Lives Matter movement here in Chicago or nationwide, you see the genocide going on in this city where only black people are being affected by it. Why can't you get the same young folks together to come and march, watch this, down these streets, not Michigan Avenue? Because the problem ain't on Michigan Avenue.
The problem, and I'm finished, you hit something so key. When you guys look at the marches that's taking place on Michigan through the city of Chicago, majority of those who marching are Caucasian,
mm-hmm.
are other ethnic groups,
yes.
not blacks.
Right.
And so what happens, because of this Black Lives movement,
uh-huh.
it has segregated us.
Yeah.
as a culture
yeah.
from everyone else. Now we're so guarded
right.
with this Black Lives Movement that we went pro-black.
Yeah.
Now, and not pro-God, pro-Jesus.
But we ain't even pro-black in our own communities,
my,
though.
That's my point. See, we can talk about a press conference
right.
of Black Lives Matter or
right.
wear a T-shirt, Black Lives
right.
Matter.
Right.
But honestly, Black Lives Matter is a black who's willing to die for the cause.
Man. I mean, seriously.
And I'm being honest with you.
Yeah, where is the march again? Why is it that we can't get, and maybe it's something we need to make a phone call, find out. Matter of fact, what's her name?
Buttercup.
You know what? I'm going to change her name because that's going to irritate my spirit today. But Buttercup. Could you? We need to find out about who can we contact in the Black Lives Matter movement and say, look, I understand y'all busy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever it is y'all doing right, because whatever the latest racial issue that you all are checking into right now, but can we gather something here in Chicago and march in these kill zones?
Can I be real with you?
Come on.
This is the problem I have with Black Lives Matter.
Come on.
We got NAACP, whatever it is. Come on, no, I'm serious, man. NAACP, there you go. I put NC, like NCAA. NAACP.
Okay.
NAACP.
Yes.
We got that, and that organization been moving for many years.
Yeah.
For many years.
Yeah.
Now, what happens, what we do as a culture, we try to reinvent the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of us collaborating,
yes.
instead of us joining partnership with other organizations that's going, we feel that they should sit down
because we think the NAACP has lost its connection.
Well, it lost its connection because many people are become renegades,
right?
And they're doing their own thing,
right?
So, and
right.
we as a people begin to partner with organizations that's already going up and moving.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, proven
mm-hmm.
because NAACP
mm-hmm.
come from the slogan "A mind is a terrible thing to waste." That's where that came from, that
okay.
slogan.
Okay.
That wasn't when an egg was cracked and it was on a skillet and they talked about some drugs. No, that came from the first scholarship fund that they...
United Negro
right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so what we did, we have taken different cliches and taken different movement
mm-hmm.
into a direction. Now we all individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Now where it needs to take place, I'm not knocking anyone from starting their own organization or trying to create a movement.
Right.
But we all do know this. It takes time to make noise. You can't make noise overnight. So here it is. If you're knowledgeable, if you went to school for political science, if you went to school for social justice, it's time that you go ahead and lock in with an organization that's got a proven track record to try to enhance it instead of trying to create your own. Because truth of the matter, when you try to create your own, it's harder to get certain revenue. It's harder to get certain resources than it is if something's already established.
Do you know how many, and this is the thing, and this is where we as black people always fall short, and it's our own fault. We won't organize on the things that will help improve our lives. But we'll stand up, we're the first ones to put up, something happened in France, everybody I know changing their Facebook status, pray for France. Can I get a Facebook status to just say pray for the West Side?
Jesse?
Right, Jesse.
Okay, though.
Jesse.
Jesse who?
Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I just seen you at United Airlines Airport. Dealing with an issue. Right. I seen you marching.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm not throwing him under the bus. But he's very influential still. Regardless of who don't like him, who like him, he's still influential.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
means that you still have the voice
mm-hmm.
to get. Exactly. I feel you on that. But he still have the voice
to get these notable guys into a room together. And I'm telling you, I've been saying this since I've been on the show. I've been saying this before I came on the show, that it's going to take many notable guys that got the clout, they got the voice,
okay,
to come together and reason.
Okay.
Seriously.
I noticed something with the Black Lives Matter movement. And I'm back on that only because you look at the age ranges of young folks.
Young folks.
Some are professional people.
Uh-huh.
Some are not.
Uh-huh.
Some look like they got regular 9-to-5 jobs.
Uh-huh.
Some do not.
Uh-huh.
So they all kind of get mixed in, which is why you never could tell who's really doing what.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, which part of the Black Lives Matter movement? Y'all downtown, which one? Are those Black Lives Matter people that are standing on the counters at Macy's? That was jumping up and down on the counter?
My point.
Or was that somebody that had infiltrated the group to just go out there and act a fool because it was too many of us, so they ain't going to be able to arrest all of us, so it's going to put a bad light on them? All I'm saying is this. You have the power to come in, just like you go and stand up and interrupt Bernie Sanders during the campaign, just like y'all booed him, y'all showed up at Hillary's rallies, y'all showed up down here at, just like we showed, the folks showed up down here at Trump Tower,
yeah,
the night of the election,
yeah,
and everywhere else. Where is that same gathering to walk through these areas in Chicago where people are dying daily? Where is that at? Where are the leaders who say nobody is speaking up, nobody is doing this and doing that? Where are you now?
And you know something? I'm not going to make this. Well, I'm going to make a statement, but then also I'm going to go do research because there's many entities to outreach when it comes down to street violence,
yes,
racial issues,
yes.
And I want to know is Black Lives Matter just straight geared towards racial issues?
That's a good question.
Because
that's the appearance.
That is the appearance. Now, let me share something with you guys.
So black on black crime ain't a racial issue.
My point.
Okay, all right.
Let me share something to you guys.
Check it.
Wearing a Black Lives Matter t-shirt in a white community doesn't mean that you're pro-black or you want things to change. That don't mean nothing. You know, wearing a Black Lives Matter and you work in Walmart in the public that people can see you, that does not mean that you're in fully support of your people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just being real. And I'm not trying to knock anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But Black Lives Matter is supposed to be a movement that changed, revolutionized,
yes,
communities.
Supposedly.
And not just different social issues,
mm-hmm,
but as a whole,
mm-hmm,
that should be an agenda.
Yeah.
And a black agenda,
mm-hmm,
that is presented to Congress. Now,
here's another one. So quick to blame. They talked about President Obama like a dog. Said that he didn't do nothing for black folks while he was in office and all that stuff. Tavis Smiley, you always on TV talking about this, that, and the third, and this black president, we didn't hold him accountable. Okay, Tavis, let me ask you this: you the gatherer of people, where's all your folk at? Where is the rally at? Because watch this: if you don't think all these black people killing each other is social injustice, if you don't think that's a social injustice, then what the hell are you doing?
Well, bro, you know what's their problem?
But
they're too busy trying to debate with each other on national TV.
Right, right.
That's all these who have the mic on CNN,
right,
or on L West.
Exactly. Yeah. And I admire Cornell. He's intellectually, he's a freaking genius.
Yes.
And I love it. I can,
yes,
sit and listen to him talk all,
yes,
day long.
Yes.
But Cornell West, Tavis Smiley,
yes,
where are you all at in Chicago?
They're too busy on their station, whether it's television, whether it's radio, debating with one another.
Right.
And so what happens, if you're spending all this time debating with one another, there's no work getting done.
Mm-hmm.
None whatsoever. And you know, Tanya Williams made a comment saying that Pastor Reverend Jesse Jackson is not the only influential person. You know, honestly, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
But he has a big influence,
mm-hmm,
with clergy. He has a big influence with all these organizations, agencies, that he can say a word. He can say, okay, we need to have a meeting, and people will follow. And truth of the matter, in leadership,
Mm-hmm. Everyone is not going to like the leader that's in charge. No matter if and it's the truth of the matter, look at President Barack Obama. You know, we were always gung-ho when he got in office. Even when he in office, out of office, you hear more negative now
right.
than anything.
Right.
So everyone is not going to like, but we still need a voice. We
right.
still need a person
right.
that can gather,
right.
that can get these people together and figure out.
There needs to be a joint effort. There is a sect of people.
It has to be.
Who are older than you and I.
Yes.
Who, if Jesse calls, they
yes.
will come.
Yes.
But then there needs
yes.
to be someone who is like you and I,
yes.
who has the influence over people like you and
yes.
I, that will gather people to
yes.
come. Then there has to be someone who is younger than us,
yes.
someone like maybe Chance the Rapper,
exactly.
who can gather people together,
exactly.
and then they come. And if you get those three together and have one agenda, just
yes.
one,
yes.
to stop the violence, just one.
Yeah.
One agenda.
Yeah,
that's it. I understand the jobs thing. I understand the poverty thing. But it's one agenda. Guess what? If y'all keep turning everybody, we ain't going to need no job.
And can I be honest with you guys, too? I'm going to say this. Chance, I love Chance the Rapper. I'm not knocking the work that he's doing.
Uh-huh.
But let me share this with you. Chance the Rapper is still a kid.
Right.
That means he don't have all the wisdom
right.
and knowledge. He may have the energy,
right.
and he might have the following.
And his job would be to get those who follow him, to
uh-huh.
get them to come.
Exactly.
Because watch this. Some of the ones that follow him might be some of the ones that's out here in the street doing stupid stuff.
And you're absolutely right.
So if he can get them together and all of us to come together on one page and say, okay, now look, y'all. Enough is enough. Because what the hell are you killing each other for? A street corner that you don't own.
Yeah.
Y'all fighting over property that you
yeah.
don't pay taxes on.
Yeah.
Dumb as hell. You killing people and out there risking your life for some mess that you don't even own. Or because some idiot is on Facebook. And here's the deal. And I know we joke about this a lot, and a lot of folk right now are arguing and being real petty over stuff, but Facebook is getting people killed.
Yeah.
Can I say that again?
Yeah.
Social media is getting people killed. These people are out here getting, the reason they're being killed in broad daylight is because they're on social media in broad daylight,
yeah.
standing on corners, talking mess about folk, and you think, well, yeah, it's just talk. Guess what? It ain't just talk no more. Because right after you get through recording, somebody say, man, he on Central and Lake.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's roll.
Exactly.
And right now.
Let me share something else, too. Because I don't want nobody to think that we know that people are doing work out here.
Yes.
We know that.
Yes.
But what's happening is if I'm doing work, if he's doing work, and if 10 other people doing work, that's just small numbers.
Yeah.
If we can come together
mm-hmm.
and do something massive
mm-hmm.
and present a spirit of unity.
Yes.
And people will see it.
Yes.
And to be honest with you, stuff like that needs to be seen on media.
That needs to be seen.
It needs to be seen.
If you see that whole generational thing,
yes,
somebody like Jesse, somebody
yes.
else in that mid-range,
yes.
and
yes.
somebody like Chance,
yes.
gather their people together, and then it just can't be the gathering. Then there needs to be a plan behind the scenes, because then the work has to be done.
Yes.
Now it's like we need to disperse this thing and put this thing out in groups. It's kind of like the whole thing we do with Jody. It's like Jody has a small group. He can't be on every corner.
Yes.
But watch this. If we had resources for Jody,
yeah.
If he had resources where he could split his team up
yes.
and say, okay, I'm going to be on in three different places at one time,
yes.
and I'm going to give you the same everything I got in all three different situations, then you can start to make a movement.
Exactly.
But if we too busy fighting over whether he didn't say my name, so I ain't going.
He ain't put my
picture on the poster, so I can't go.
Watch this. And I want somebody to catch this, and maybe you can run with it. And I'm going to give you this vision for free.
Come on.
How about we take these football stadiums,
mm-hmm.
larger stadiums in the city of Chicago, Hanson, Rocky, Stack.
Oh, you're talking about the public schools.
The public schools.
Yeah, the Park Association.
Exactly. Take these. Let's do a prayer one day at each location.
Mm.
Each church in that community or in
all the churches gather.
All the churches gathering
yeah.
in that one facility, no matter which side of town
you're on. That's good.
And bombard heaven together.
That's good.
I'm talking about if you're close to Hanson, if you're close to Rockney, you're close to Stag,
right.
whatever it is.
Right, right.
And many others on the south side. How about we make a movement like that?
That's good.
Let that be a start. If you're too scared to march down the street,
that's good.
Let's send up some timber in one location together.
Yeah.
And we got temper coming up from the north side.
Yeah.
Temper from the west side.
Yeah.
Temper from the south side.
Yeah.
And let's shake up heaven.
Yeah.
Now,
that's
that,
good.
Now, and let me be honest with you. That don't take money because
it don't.
Each one of the stadiums have a sound system.
Right. Right.
They have a sound
you
system.
Can go in,
you
right.
can play music over the sound.
Right. Right.
You can invite them in.
Right.
There's plenty of seats.
Right.
You can have people going up on the field
right.
itself.
And we ain't taking up no offer.
We ain't taking up no offer.
And I say that about again.
There you go.
Taking up no offer.
This is the off season for football. These fields are not being used.
Right.
Now here's the vision.
Uh-huh.
This is the vision. Now, there's some people that got the clout
yep.
to get to these people
yep.
that will open up the door.
Yep.
Now, you need people, and I'm gonna release this vision again because the Lord just dropped this
in
my spirit.
Come on.
I'm going to release this again. We need to get some people that got the clout.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Alderman.
Right. Park districts.
Park districts.
Park districts.
You can, get these doors open
mm-hmm.
for us.
Mm-hmm.
Open up these football stadiums.
Mm-hmm.
You got parking facilities.
Yep.
It's both of them. All of them is good by public transportation.
Yep.
We all there for one agenda.
Yep.
We're not here trying to create
yep.
our personal agenda.
Yep.
We don't care who it is that's going to play as long as they spirit feel.
That's right.
And we are coming in, touching the green,
right.
and we're going to shake up heaven.
Yeah.
I guarantee the Lord will respond.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, sometimes you got to apply pressure with pressure.
Mm-hmm.
When you're pressured with issues of life, now you got to apply pressure back to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way that you can apply pressure back to heaven
mm-hmm.
is by giving God the glory.
Yeah.
Let him know, okay, God, then we have not done this in years.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, this probably not have been existed.
Right.
But now we're taking a stand.
Yeah.
Now show us your glory.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's what we need to do. And I'm being so honest.
That
is a vision. If any of you part of a church,
mm-hmm.
a notable church, your pastor is always seen on television, or he is a vocal
mm-hmm.
face in the community,
mm-hmm.
bring that to the picture. I don't care who gets the credit for this,
mm-hmm.
but I know this. It's going to work.
Yeah.
It's going to shake up some things. And I guarantee what's the glorious part about this, you're going to have so many churches finally come together and don't have to pay to come together.
That's good. We got a couple of emails. Email says, first one says, now I definitely agree what you were saying about Tavis Smiley. Where are you, Tavis? And then it says, also, I wonder if Jesse would come out if someone in his family was affected in a tragic crime.
Of course.
It seems that when these people get involved, it's when their families or someone they know or close to is affected.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the only time. And I'm not trying to be funny, and I'm not trying to throw the congressman out there.
Can I say this, and you can then continue? Ain't nobody from my family been shot. I'm on the corner every week.
Thank you.
You're on the corner every week.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, I did have my cousin 2 years ago.
But that was right. But I'm saying, yeah.
But still,
right.
This is my passion.
Exactly.
And listen, and I don't care how many people out here that's crazy about Congressman, and it's not a shot at him,
right.
but it didn't bother him until it hit home.
Mm.
It's
mm-hmm.
on the south side when his grandson
mm-hmm.
got killed.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it hit home.
Mm-hmm.
See, you sometimes when you're not passionate about something,
it takes something
tragic to happen in order for you to really feel it.
And truth be told, and I tell you just like this, I'm tired of folks getting killed. I'm tired of folks getting killed 10 steps from in front of my dang old church.
Man, for real.
I'm tired of folks getting shot behind my church in the alley. I'm tired of folks getting shot on Fulton and Central back across the street from my church. I'm tired of folks getting shot in front of Shine King across the street from my church. And I'm tired of folks getting shot down the street on Lake and Central down the street from my church. I'm tired of folks just getting shot over here.
I'm going to do this, y'all. I promise you.
Yeah.
I'm getting convicted. I'm immediately today, after this show, I'm going to reach out to some pastors
mm-hmm.
that I know that got political clout. That I'm going to ask them to possibly allow a meeting to be set up
mm-hmm.
that we're able to come into these places. And this is my proposal.
Mm-hmm.
Sure enough, I will have to put it on paper.
Mm-hmm.
But my proposal is just opening up the doors, the gates
mm-hmm.
of these stadiums and allow
mm-hmm.
us as a body of Christ just to come in and touch the green and bombard and shake up heaven.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to say this. I'm coming after some of you pastors. And if you deny me, and if you turn your back on me, I will put you on blast. Now, I'm a pastor, and I don't care anymore because, listen, it's time that we do something.
it's time. You know, I thank God. The Lord always give me vision, and sometimes the vision they give me scares the hell out of me, but that's why I don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But at this junction, I believe, coming into the summer, because it's going to be tragic.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be hectic.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be rough for our kids.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that there needs to be a stand.
Mm-hmm.
A stand that somebody got to take the initiative to do it. And I don't care if five people show up to 10,000 people show up.
Right.
It got to be done.
The good cardinal has joined us. He said, ain't nobody getting rich but the crematorium. Not the funeral home, because most folk ain't got no insurance.
And you absolutely right. You're right. Ain't nobody getting rich. The drug dealer ain't getting rich.
Absolutely.
The funeral home or the crematorium.
You absolutely
the only people getting rich in this conflict. And they're going to stop crime victims because too many people are dying in the city of Chicago.
Yeah.
So they're not going to have enough money to pay a crime victim.
It's beyond,
Someone put Bishop William Hudson created a citywide prayer thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do, they went to different churches throughout the city of Chicago,
mm-hmm.
north side, south side, east side, west side,
mm-hmm.
and which was good. But to be honest with you people, I think we need to come out the four walls.
Yeah. Now, see, this is where the rubber meets the road. And they tried this on the south side. And I believe some churches did it, because I know Father Flager did. He got some churches to join with him. But right here in this area, we got quite a few churches around here. Some have been over here for 50, 45 plus years. It's longer than that. Can you walk out your door on Sunday morning and just gather down these blocks and line up down Central, down Lake Street?
Wow.
Just leave your church your church service on Sunday morning. Tell your flock, we going over here on this corner. If your church, guess what? Just because your church ain't on Central and Lake don't mean somebody ain't been affected.
Wow.
So if your church happens to be on Lake Street, closer to the Austin side of the street, yes, I'm talking about it. If your church happens to be over there, guess what? Gather all your people. Use all your social media tools that you love to be on all the time.
Wow.
And come on outside. Come on outside and gather your people and let's lock arms and pray on this, because if it's really about God's business, if you really care about the people of God, it's more than just the people in your doggone church.
Man, you know something?
Come on, leave your church at 12. I'm not telling you not to collect your offering, Pastor. You can collect your offering before you come out.
Yeah.
But after you collect your offering, I need you to meet me out here on this corner.
Yeah. Hey, man, that's good. I didn't hear about that, and I wish I would have.
Yeah, it kind of happened spur of the moment last year. Father Flager had did.
Honestly, but that's
quite a few churches did it on the south side.
That's good business, man. Listen, the Lord just dropped down the thing that he wants us to do.
Yeah.
It's called healing the hood. Healing the hood.
That's good.
Minister Regina Hall, mm-hmm. Houston Hall, Mama, you came out with the best scripture. My people were called by my name.
Yeah, yeah.
Shall
humble
themselves.
Humble themselves. And pray.
And pray.
Yeah.
The subject matter to that scripture will be healing the hood.
That's it. That's good.
Healing the hood.
Yeah.
I'm going to get some T-shirts made.
Mm-hmm.
I need at least 10 to 15 of you guys just put out healing the hood.
Yeah.
Let's speak this thing into existence.
That's
because
good.
Our hood needs healing.
That's good.
It needs healing.
That's good.
It really do.
Yeah.
Man, I think about what we could do.
That's good.
And even as me and my brother sitting
that's
here,
good.
We both passionate about it.
Yeah.
But to be honest with you, we can't keep waiting on people.
No, you can't.
We can't, man, because the truth of the matter is not going to get done. It's not. And I'm this only people you're going to catch me knocking, and I'm going to tell you this now, from this point on,
mm-hmm.
is those people that I come to and they reject me. I'm going to put them on blast, because I'm only going to people that I know have the clout that they can make things happen.
Yeah.
I'm not going to nobody who can't make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to people who I know without a shadow of a doubt that can make it happen. And let me share something with you on this, too. Guess what? You can't share this with everybody,
mm-hmm.
because everybody don't see vision the way you see it.
Sister McCurdy said, okay, Pastor Parks, don't get shot calling pastors out.
Mama, guess what? Pastors call everybody else out.
Yeah,
I've been a pastor, I've been preaching 20 years, and I'm tired of these guys not doing the work that God called us to do. And I'm being honest, he called us to be on the four walls, four walls.
We got a message. Yolanda King says, okay, so play and then what? How are we going to get these kids to stop killing each other?
Number one,
Great question.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, prayer heals.
Yeah.
Prayer delivers.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer does many things
mm-hmm.
that we can't do on our own.
Uh-huh.
And so it's not saying that prayer is going to be the epitome
mm-hmm.
of everything,
mm-hmm.
but prayer is the start. Here, the problem with us as Christians, we run to every source. Then our last remark is, well, I guess I have no other choice but to give it to God. God is a jealous God.
Yeah.
God wants that thing first.
Yeah, come to me first.
He wants come to him
right.
first.
When it first tore up. Yeah, yeah.
This is his creation.
Yeah.
So we need to give it back to the creator.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, just like our kids, the scripture says, train the child in the way it should go.
Yeah.
Then when he gets old, he won't
yeah.
depart.
Yeah.
Guess what? We got to start
yeah.
somewhere.
You start with the prayer. You first you gather the people.
Yes.
First you gather the people. And then watch this. You have to gather them first. Watch this. When Jesus brought all those people around, when the miracle of the two fish and the five loaves, he had no intention. Food was never part of the process.
Exactly.
He brought them there. They followed
wow.
him because they came for a word.
Yeah.
So they gathered the people together first.
Yeah.
And then once they got the people together, that's when the miracle took place.
Yes.
The two fish and five loaves miracle didn't take place until the people had come together first.
Yes.
So you had to get the gathering there.
Yes.
And then God provided
yes.
the stuff.
Yes.
So you call somebody, you get the people together
yes.
first.
Yes.
Then let God provide
yes.
the stuff.
Yes.
Come on.
The problem, and I'm learning too, why a lot of people are not coming on the streets.
Yeah.
They don't feel safe, number one. And then two, they're lazy as hell.
Well, that. I'm going to go with two.
Yeah.
And I'm just being honest.
I'm going to go with two.
Because yeah.
yeah.
some of them I know ain't scared. They're
yeah.
just lazy.
They're just lazy.
Yeah.
And so what needs to take place, and
yeah.
Yolanda, I thank you for
yeah.
the question
mm-hmm.
because
yeah.
that's called detail.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to take place
yeah.
after we do the prayer? Listen, I believe prayer is the key that unlocks every door.
Absolutely.
I believe through the power of prayer, some stuff that was being held hostage,
mm-hmm.
the Lord will release it
mm-hmm.
in his perspective once the people do what he required us to do,
yeah.
and that's come together.
Yeah.
See, he's not going to release stuff when there's people under the table and we're fighting for the same matter,
yeah.
when we can do something big together.
Yeah.
And so, this is not going to be, I'm just getting all excited, charged, and energized right now,
mm-hmm.
and then wind through my fire is going. No, this is something that's going to take a team to
yeah.
make happen.
Yeah.
This is something that's going to take a team of people throughout the city of Chicago to make this thing happen.
Yeah.
Parks can't do it by himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to sit up and think that I can do it by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I barely did my flashlight Easter
by yourself.
Man, you
right,
can't
right.
do it by yourself.
Right.
You need people that's willing to and guess what? When there's something to that magnitude, you will get the celebrities out.
Mm-hmm.
You will get the athletes out because guess what? Truth be told, they love crowds.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of that, it's going to draw more people than you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to help the entire city of Chicago.
Yeah.
I'm serious. It's not now. This is not a part because truth of the matter, parks might not even be in one location because I'm be jumping around.
Right.
But this thing is going to happen.
Yeah.
We're going to pick a selective date. We're going to build this thing up. And I'm praying in the name of Jesus
mm-hmm.
that the people that we go to, the aldermen, the politicians that we go to is going to help us open up the doors to the places we need to be open.
Mm-hmm.
Our state reps got the clout to do it.
Yeah.
Listen, my friend Jody told me the other day that they was trying to shut down Central Lake.
Yeah.
But the police officers wouldn't let them. But here, LaShawn Ford came.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as he came,
mm-hmm.
they shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you can shut down a busy street
mm-hmm.
by Central Lake,
yeah.
there's nothing too hard for us to get inside a stadium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A stadium not making money being closed.
Yeah.
That's busy streets making money with CTA, making money with people going back and forth to work. So if they can stop that.
That's right. They can reroute.
They can reroute.
They reroute for 10 up streets. They can reroute for 30 minutes of prayer. They can get over that. Look here, I am. Let me see. Angela Johnson says, unfortunately, for quite a few pastors, I know they work full time. Something I didn't see with my Baptist upbringing, but that's that. We can do what we will. We can do what we would do. We have a building upstairs, downstairs. Yeah. So I get one of the things I think and.
Every time you praise him, it starts dividing the clouds above you. I smell a little rain. Come on, Pastor Wyland, tell me what you think about it.
You know, Pastor Brown, The Bible says in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat, and drink, for I hear the sound of the abundance of rain.
Come on.
Can't you hear the rain?
Yeah, yeah.
I hear the rain.
I hear the rain.
In every dry and lonely place, I can hear the rain.
Hear the rain.
Clouds of the miraculous start to gather over us. Presence is so thunderous. In your rain, eyes are looking to the sky. Faith is at an all-time high. Lord, we pray you hear our cry. Send your rain, send your rain. Well, 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 well. Your presence is so thunderous. All we need you to do is send your rain, send your rain.
Eyes are looking to the sky. Faith is at an all-time high. Lord, we pray you hear our cry.
Send your rain.
Man, we are back in here. Good to go. Look, y'all, We're going to jump into the article. I know he's got a lot of ideas. Me and my brother got a lot of stuff we got to talk about. I got Tiny working on some stuff now, trying to contact some people as we speak in the background. So, you know, do your thing and get a hold of whoever you can get a hold to. And here's the deal. And it's not that we don't go out. Because I know people could say, you know, people, you might just be tuning in. You don't know what's really going on. It's like, well, y'all sit there and y'all talk about a lot of stuff. But what do you guys actually do? If you've been listening to this show for anything or more than the last six months, you already know we ain't just sitting here.
Exactly.
But at the same time, there's more we can do.
Honestly.
And I believe this platform is not just to encourage and to pray for folks. It's also to push people.
Exactly.
It's also to push people into action. And some folks need to be pushed.
And truth to the matter, you know, I think that's one of our goals, is to push people to their potential.
And if you have the capacity to be able to do something and you're not doing it, and guess what? I believe at this appointed time that God has placed this platform here to push you into that next move.
Yeah.
Into that next move. Don't get so comfortable where you are and be comfortable with what you're doing when there's so much more that God has for you. There's so much more that God has for you to do in this season.
Yeah.
In this season. Amen. Look, y'all, we're going to jump right into today's conversation, right? This is going to be good. Seven things all growing churches have in common.
Yeah.
Seven things all growing churches have in common. He says, what all growing churches have in common. This is what the writer says. The writer says this. Once a month at Sun Valley Community Church, he says, the church I have the privilege of serving at, he says, we gather all of our staff from all of our campuses to have some fun, celebrate wins, keep everybody on the same page, and oftentimes do some leadership development training. Last week, he says, Chad Moore, who serves as the lead pastor at Sun Valley, shared seven things that all growing churches have in common. I thought these may be helpful to you in a local church context. So here we go. And he gave some bullet points. He says, church is not a building that you come to. It is a movement that you choose to be a part of to help people meet, know, and follow Jesus.
Yeah.
Then he says, you can't come to church because you are the church.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then he says, to get the right answers about church, you have to ask the right questions.
Yeah.
And then he says, the book of Acts is all about how the early church acted.
Yeah.
So we're going to jump right into today's conversation. This is going to be good. Today's conversation, once again, is seven things all growing churches have in common. Number one, Pastor Fox.
Passionate and proficient leaders. The starting point for any movement is highly competent leaders who are deeply committed leaders to the cause.
Mm-hmm.
Without highly competent leaders, the church will prematurely hit a leadership capacity lid.
Mm.
Without deeply committed leaders, the church will be stunted due to leadership turnover when things get too difficult.
Wow.
That is true. that, you know, in order to have a successful growing church,
mm-hmm.
you need passionate and proficient leaders.
Yes.
Number one, you have to be passionate about God. And then you have to be passionate about his people.
Yes.
And then you have to be passionate about the job at hand.
Yes.
If you don't have at least two of the three, you're not passionate.
Yes.
You need to really have all three.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have, number one, you got to be passionate about God to do anything for God.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to be passionate about his people to serve his people.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to be really passionate about the job at hand to even to endure the struggle that comes behind it.
Yeah.
And a lot of people jump ship because they're losing their passion.
Mm-hmm.
And always remember this. If you are in a culture
mm-hmm.
or atmosphere that's causing you to lose your passion,
mm-hmm.
9 times out of 10, that's not a place for you. Don't let something suck you out of doing what your heart desires.
Mm-hmm.
Leeches are something that suck blood out of your body so you die.
Wow.
And there's some people or things will suck your joy out of you that you can die spiritually.
Wow.
That you won't have the momentum that you need
mm-hmm.
to do what it is that God called you to do.
That's good. That's good. I've heard this said, you know, you have people who are, there are people who are passionate about, let's say they're passionate about youth, like youth ministry.
Yeah.
Then maybe you ought to make sure that whatever church you are part of, that that's where you operate.
Exactly.
Because you can't And I don't want to come up harsh. Maybe you can try to help me, correct me, and some of you other pastors that are out there listening can jump in. If you're passionate about the youth, then you, and then you call yourself a senior pastor, then where's your passion for, you know what I'm saying? How can you separate? If your true passion is for the youth, then how are you going to turn around and how are you going to pastor the rest of the church?
And but this is the thing.
It's like, you know, the whole mighty, mighty Lord of Kings.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
But if that's what your true calling is, then operating your gifting.
Operating your gifting.
Because going outside of that is going to be a problem.
Now, here, I'm going to say this. When it comes down to being passionate about youth, that means you're building youth, you're raising youth to become leaders.
Yeah.
Now, if you're just passionate just to be around youth, that might be a problem going on. And if you're building the youth to become leaders, then I understand that there will be an open door policy if either they're staying or you're sending them out. But in the same token, that means that your focus shouldn't be entirely on youth.
Yeah.
But if you're passionate, give the youth the support that they need.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't always have to be there to support the youth.
That's true.
Because you have personnel in place that can take the mantle and move forward with it.
That's good. That's good. Let's keep going, y'all. We're talking about seven things growing churches have in common. Number two says, clearly defined vision and goals. He says Jesus gave the early church a clear vision to get this movement going in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He says, we don't have to make up the mission while we exist of the church. He says, but we do get to lean into the vision, where we're going next of the church. Most churches just say things like, we are just going to follow the Spirit, which sounds really spiritual, but is usually code for we don't know where we're going or what we're doing. Most churches forget that planning is spiritual. Proverbs is in the Bible, too, and God has a plan. He's just not winging it. Hope is not a strategy. If you don't have a target, you'll hit it every time.
Wow.
Wow. Oh, my God. Oh.
That's pretty deep.
Man. Oh, my.
the biggest turn out of that whole sentence is
yeah.
And because and then your vision must be backed up with scripture.
Yeah, yeah.
It has to be. Because people really need to see the full direction of where they need to go.
Yeah.
And to be honest, we're in a different cosmic of people. We are dealing with people that have degrees on top of degrees.
Mm-hmm.
They're educated.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, back then, the preacher was able to tell the people anything, and they believed it.
Yep.
Now, today's time, people are researching what you're telling them.
While you're saying it.
I mean, that's just like preacher.
Google, bro.
Yeah. Preacher, and you start using these big words. And people start Googling that stuff in your sermon and say, they don't mean that. They don't go there.
Right, right.
You know, and I'm being honest. So people need more than they needed back then because of the educational attainment that's taking place.
Mm-hmm.
People need more substance. They need more vision, more direction, goals. You know, we can't just sit here and say, okay, all right, we're going to do the prayer at every corner, stadium
with no plan.
We call the alderman, he say, okay, I give it to you.
Right.
Okay, well, we'll pick this day, and then people are going to show up.
Right.
No, with nothing else.
With nothing else.
We're just going to follow the spirit. Here it is. Well, based upon who comes, when pastors come, that's when we get to pray.
Right. So you got no plan to pray.
No plan whatsoever.
Yeah, that's that whole mentality, that field of dreams mentality. If you build it, they will come. No, bro.
That ain't true, man.
No, that was good in the movie.
Yeah.
But that ain't real life. That ain't real life at all. Let's keep going. Number three. Go ahead now.
Number three says, culture that supports the vision and strategy.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't say atmosphere.
Culture.
It said culture.
Yeah, come on.
Culture is the soft, squeezy stuff that most organizations have a difficult time clearing and defining.
Mm-hmm.
Culture is how the people in the organization think and feel, what they value, and how they actually behave.
regardless of what's written on the wall, it's what's happening down the hall. Of all the things that a leader does, the most important is what the leader does to protect and fuel the culture. That is good, man. Listen, culture that supports the vision and the strategy. You have to change the atmosphere of your place to turn into a culture that vision and that strategy will stick. Listen, every church needs systems. If you don't have systems, your church is not going to last. Because what happens with systems, no matter who is in the leadership position, if you got systems in place, it's going to always flow.
That's why I would, like, if you just watch this. We just had an election, right? Got a president. Some of y'all didn't want. Some of us didn't want. But the government still runs.
Exactly.
And there's a plan in place. Something happens to the president, there's a succession plan. Something happens to, there's a show. There's a whole TV show right now based off a succession plan called Designated Survivor.
Wow.
The Capitol got blew up during the State of the Union address.
Wow.
And everybody died, and the one person who gets sent off somewhere to be just so that the government can continue, there's always a plan in place.
Always.
So that, now here's the difference. The only difference with that is because you got rid of all of those politicians, that was an instant culture change.
Exactly.
When you come into a church, it has a set culture.
It has a set culture.
And some of them aren't always good.
It should have a set culture.
No, they do.
As a matter of fact, it do.
They do.
You're absolutely right.
It might not be good.
You're absolutely right.
And then here you come with, here's the word you used earlier, with the shifting of the atmosphere that doesn't necessarily fit the culture of the church you're at. That's why at some churches on Sunday morning, if you got someone who is really a natural praiser and worshiper at heart, and they come in your church and that ain't really what your church is, and just that the culture of your church is not a praise and worship church, you're more of an old school devotional type church, you're going to have to pull worship out of them folk. You got to pull, because the culture is set that that's not what we do. And we're used to you just coming and entertaining me. I'm used to you singing to me.
Wow.
And if that's the culture that's set up, and then here you come trying with an atmospheric change, it's just like, you know, okay, like right now it's sunny outside. Okay? And you decide, hey, it's sunny. This is how we act. Matter of fact, I'll change it. Let's say, you know, you're in California. Like they say, Southern California. In Southern California, they thinking, look, it's 85 degrees every day. This is what we do. That's what we're used to.
Right.
When the rain comes, it changes everything.
It changes everything because it never rained in Southern California.
Exactly. So now we got to change our dress.
Yes.
But watch this. We know it's going to go back to normal.
Exactly.
Now watch this. When people move from Southern California to Chicago, it is not only an atmospheric change, it's a culture change.
Culture change.
Because now I got to be ready for anything.
Yeah.
Because in Chicago, it could be 80 today, 60 to snow tomorrow, and the leaves turn green again the next day. We got to move to a point where we can change some cultures of some people. And there's some churches who are stuck where they are because they refuse to see that the culture.
You hit so many good points. It's amazing.
Yeah.
We can't change cultures because the number one terrorist is in the church. It's called been there.
Woo!
Those that been there, won't let those come here and stay here.
Yeah.
And so what happens when you got that certain group of people in the church, they feel like everything they've been doing is right. Because some people is just content with just surviving.
Yeah.
They want to survive but not live. You can be on life support and surviving but not living.
Yeah.
And some of these churches are on life support. They just surviving and not living to the expectation of what God called us to do.
Yeah.
And so what happens, it's hard to change a place that's stuck.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
It's hard. And, and truth be told, the only person that can resurrect anything is Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. And how do you do that? Keep his name in the front of your eyes. Let that be the thing that come out your mouth all the time.
That's good.
All the time. Let that be the thing. Come on, let's keep going. We're talking about seven things growing churches have in common. Number four. A strong, communicating leader or cultural architect. He says, the early church had Peter and Paul, among others. Contrary to popular belief in the church world, teaching on the weekends is not the most important thing we're doing. He says, the most important thing we're doing is building culture, and we're using the Bible to reinforce the build, we're using the Bible to reinforce and build this movement called the church. The primary purpose of the pulpit is not teaching, it's leading.
Wow. Wow.
My. Look here, y'all. You need leaders who know how to communicate.
Yes.
You can have the best vision in the world. If you can't communicate that thing to me.
Yes.
And if that means you got to look, break it down to look. If that does look, if you got to use the KISS method, keep it simple, stupid.
Yes. Yes.
Because guess what? You're probably going to have to do that until you train your people.
Yes.
Oh, so look, wow. Here's the vision, God. Just gave you the vision. Okay, vision is we want to use Chicago Park District Stadiums to house large major prayer events. That's as simple as it can get.
Simple.
Now, there's a lot of work that needs to be done.
Yes.
But for y'all, this is the vision.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, now let's make things happen.
Let's make it happen.
But you have to have people around you, leadership, who has, like he claimed in this article, what he called it, a cultural architect, somebody who can design this thing.
Yes.
Like, here's the deal. It's just like you say, okay, man, I want a church. I want to build a church that holds 500 people.
Yeah.
You're not an architect.
Yeah.
Neither am I. But now I got to go to find an architect who I can then tell the vision to. This is what I envisioned.
Yeah.
And then you give that to them, and then they take that home, and then they come back to you with a plan. How you feel about this, Pastor? Wow. That's it. That's the vision I saw.
Wow.
But you have to be willing to get that architect needs all of the information that's in your head.
Wow.
You need to be able to express all of that information so that he or she can turn around and put that thing on paper. Tell me what. Look, can I go here? I'm gonna be like my brother for a minute. Can I say it like Drew Hill? Tell me what you want.
Exactly.
Tell me what you need. I mean, come on, somebody. If you don't tell people what it is you're looking for, then don't be surprised or mad when you don't get it.
Wow.
See, you can say all day long, we want to have this multi-stadium prayer meeting.
Wow.
Now, that's what he said to y'all.
Yeah.
Right? Now, afterwards, him and everybody that's going to be involved need to sit down and come to a plan.
Exactly.
Now, if the only thing that constantly gets said is, I want to have a stadium meeting.
Exactly.
Don't get mad 6 months from now and Parks coming in here mad and you go, well, man, I had this vision and didn't nobody support me. And I'm going to sit over and be like, look,
that's
the brother
right.
Just said he just wanted to have a prayer meeting.
Exactly.
And didn't get, and that's all I knew.
Exactly. Bottom line. And
perfect example. Hey, perfect example. And I mentioned that earlier.
Right.
Here it is. I'm saying, okay, we want to do the stadium.
Right.
And then we get the okay to go into the stadium.
Right.
But then once we go to the stadium, they, who's on pray?
Let's secure it yet. Right.
Whoever comes, we just gonna get people to.
Hey Doc, I see you out there. Come on,
hey,
up to
come
the
on,
stage.
Yeah.
Like, huh?
Where they do that at?
Come to the stage, Doc.
Are you serious?
Knock it off.
Yeah.
Knock it off.
That's how we do, though. That's how we do.
And that's just being real.
That's good, man. That's good. Look, y'all. Okay, we got about seven minutes to go. We gonna get through this. Praise.
Number five.
Go for it. Number five.
Generous and consistent giving.
Uh-oh.
When I first started giving, I was nervous to do it. Now I'm nervous not to do it. Two common barriers that hold back the movement of the church are leaders and money. It is the leader's responsibility to not just develop leaders, but also develop generosity in the heart of the church to fuel the vision.
Mm.
Listen, without finances, without the capital,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sorry to tell you guys this, you would not be able to function as a church with true vision.
Mm.
Because vision takes money. It takes time. It takes capital because there's certain material
mm-hmm.
that you need. There's certain things you need for mm-hmm. vision to be fulfilled. And even with this prayer thing, there's going to be things needed.
Yeah.
Like here, flyers.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe waters or something.
Cornelius Williams, we need to talk to you, man, about something we're working on. We're going to include you in that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Uh-huh. Yeah. We would need, if we're looking at every stadium in the city of Chicago,
mm-hmm.
that means we need flyers to
mm-hmm.
project it. It
mm-hmm.
takes more than social media.
Yeah.
You, possibility, if it's a nice hot day,
mm-hmm.
you want to make sure you have waters out there.
Yeah.
Not selling them.
Right. You need to be able to provide water.
If we took money, if we provided water for Flint,
mm-hmm.
we can do it here. We can do it here.
Say something now.
We can do it here.
Say something
so
now.
There's many things that we can do as a whole to make this thing happen.
Because as a good deacon of the show likes to say all the time, this little radio show collected 8 tons of
that's right.
Off this little show.
All right, this show. Off this little show.
Yeah.
Tons of water. You got to know how to give. You know, you got to know how to give.
Right, right.
And you got to have the heart to give.
Yeah.
Where your treasure is, where your heart is.
Right. Yeah. Come on now. Come on.
So don't, stop being stingy with your gifts, because this is the best investment
yeah.
you can ever make it to the kingdom of God.
That's good.
This one investment, when you make a deposit, you can always withdraw.
Come on now.
Always.
Come on now.
That's not a time that I made a deposit that I wasn't able to withdraw.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. See, and here's the deal, and you said this earlier in our earlier conversation about going to God with things and asking God to keep his word.
Yeah.
When he says stuff. I said this the other day when the good cardinal was here.
Yeah.
The Bible tells us, God said, prove me now.
Prove me now.
That's what he said. He said, prove me now. He said, if you don't believe, he said, look, if you keep your covenant with me, prove me that
that's
I won't keep mine with
that's
you.
That's right.
Test me, he said.
That's right.
Test this thing. My God, look good. That was number five. That was number five. But let me stick real quick, this generosity thing. You have got to be willing to give of yourself. And it may not be money. Maybe you can't afford to give no money, but maybe you can come down and help pass out water. Huh?
Yeah.
Or maybe you can come and say, look, I'm going to take 100 flyers and pass them out for y'all. You know, I'm going to stick them on cars in the mall parking lot. Whatever it is you can do. Whatever it is you can do to draw people in. I'm going to drop them in these stores. I'm going to go door to door. I'm going to drop them in and stick them in the gates and everything else. Whatever you can do to get people to participate, that's what needs to be done. You need to be willing to do that.
You do.
Let's keep going. Let's keep going. It says, we need some of these comments. People of Chicago need to come together, especially church people. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. Sheridan Davis says, facts only. Excellence takes finance. The church can't survive without money. Excellence does take money. Let's talk about it. It does take money. Go ahead and give number six, Doc.
Number six says, passionate
mm-hmm.
and proficient next step leaders.
Mm.
Growing churches must have people on the team who are great at helping people take their next step with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
The ministry of Jesus can be broken down into four categories.
Mm-hmm.
Come and see the woman at the well.
Yeah.
John 4, come and see a man who knew all about me.
Mm-hmm.
Could he be the Messiah?
Mm-hmm.
Follow me.
Yeah.
This is the line in the sand. John 6, you're either going to follow Jesus
uh-huh.
or you're not. Be with me.
Uh-huh.
Up close and over time. This is Jesus and the disciples.
Mm-hmm.
Remain in me.
Mm-hmm.
This person knows the Bible,
mm-hmm.
can read it, apply it on his or her own, and lead others.
Mm-hmm.
John 15.
Yeah.
Preacher can only do the first two.
Yeah.
Next steps are the next two.
Mm-hmm.
The first two are message and mission. The last two are relationships and responsibility.
That's my God.
Wow.
That's good. That's good.
Wow.
That's good. That's good.
Well, y'all might hear that again because I'm still there.
That's right. The first two are message and mission. The last two are relationship and responsibility. We can change that last one to relationship and accountability, because guess what? You cannot do this thing. There has to be some relationship. There has to be. There has to be a willingness, a passion, and again, we talked about this earlier, there needs to be a passion from your leadership team. And watch this, not just from the pastor.
Ooh,
it can't just be from the pastor. If the pastor is the only one that's passionate about this thing, and the rest of the leadership team is, you're like, whatever you say, pastor. Okay, pastor. And there's no real passion because they don't really buy into it or they don't believe in it, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
You know why Noah was so successful in building the ark?
He was consistent.
Because he was consistent and he preached that thing every day. His sons and daughters bought into it and said, okay.
He was consistent.
He kept on saying, look, y'all.
It's going to rain.
It's going to rain.
No matter what.
I ain't never seen rain before.
But it's going to rain.
But it's going to rain. The earth is going to flood.
It's going to rain.
And he kept saying that thing over and over again, and they start building that thing. And watch this. When that boat started coming together, they said, well, this is interesting looking. Let's just keep going to see how far this is going to actually go.
Wow.
And even once it was up and ready to go, it probably didn't rain right away.
Wow.
But when that thing was up and running, now if you watch that crazy movie, which is quite interesting, because the minute they put the last nail in, the first drop hit.
Yeah.
But you got to think, you have to be passionate about it, and the people who are going to be around you have to be as passionate. Can I use a sports analogy? You remember when Michael Jordan, was on the Bulls?
Uh-huh.
And before they started winning.
Uh-huh.
He was the only one on there that had any fire.
That's right.
Everybody else was, we're just glad to be here, Mike.
That's right.
He's glad to be here. It wasn't until he got some people around him that he could motivate.
Yeah,
and put in them the same hunger that was in them.
That's right.
To win,
that's
and then they became winners.
That's right.
And they needed a leader who was passionate on the other side, but a little bit different. Doug Collins was passionate.
Yeah.
He was crazy, running up down sideline.
Yeah.
Phil Jackson was different. He said, I'm gonna harness this energy you got.
Yeah, that's good.
And Michael, yes, we know you're the greatest, but watch this, you got teammates.
Yeah.
And I need you to trust them.
Yeah.
To do their job.
Mm.
And that's what happens, man, with leaders who are passionate, and they make sure that the people around them are passionate too, and that they're proficient in their job. Last one, number 7 says this, an unapologetic focus on evangelism. He says, at the end of the day, the church is all about helping people meet Jesus.
Wow.
Growing churches make decisions based on who they're trying to reach. Watch this. Not who they're trying to keep.
Wow.
Wow, wow, wow. I should take this number
7. Wow.
And Tanya, can we get number 7 and blow it up and get me in trouble?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But that's true.
You know, God.
And you know, we are focused on keeping men, keeping certain members.
Certain. Right. That's what, yeah, because they're important.
Yeah, we only here, so we only focus to keep certain.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, some members, you don't care if they come back or not.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take someone who beg every Sunday
mm-hmm.
versus someone who pay their tithes every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And we put them up in front of the church. And we ask the question, who would you rather keep? I guess everybody going to say the one who paid the money. And not the one who begged. And certain people, we just don't want to keep in our churches. Certain people we want to keep. Now, matter of fact, certain people we feel we can't afford to lose.
Mm.
Some people rather risk Jesus than risk somebody else's money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Because I can tell you right now, the reason so many churches acquiesce to their tithers is because they're afraid of losing them.
Yeah, definitely.
The reason
it looked as if it was over. You You move mountains. You move mountains. You cause walls to fall.